إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا، وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها، وكفى بنا حاسبين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: إقامة حد من حدود الله خير من مطر 40 صباحا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, scholars, mothers and sisters, Islam is a faith indeed that advocates justice at all times. Justice is a term that would attract the attention of any person coming from any faith. Any person with correct values and morals will align himself towards justice. But the beauty of Islam is, with regards to justice, is so unique that one is Islam advocates justice on all fronts. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah says the scales of justice will be brought forth. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No soul will be oppressed in the least. وَإِن كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. And if a crime as small as that of a mustard seed, if it is perpetrated and committed, then Allah says we will produce it and our knowledge will suffice for accountability. So, under the commentary of this ayah, there is a hadith that appears in Tirmidhi, where one person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I have certain slaves. And sometimes they provoke me and they upset me, so I tell them some harsh words. Sometimes they to be blamed, sometimes I am to be blamed. Tell me our relation between me and my servants and me and my slaves. How will Allah Ta'ala judge us on the day of Qiyamah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the measures you, the disciplinary measures that you institute against them will be measured in proportion to their offenses. The disciplinary measures that you institute against them will be measured in proportion to their offenses against you. فَإِن كَانَ عِقَابُكَ إِيَّاهُمْ بِقَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ كَانَ كَفَافًا لَا لَكَ وَلَا عَلَيْكَ. If you punish them proportionate to their wrong, then there will be no sin for you, no punishment for you. However, وَإِن كَانَ عِقَابُكَ. If you punish them less than the wrong that they have done, then this will be charity on your part, this will be virtue on your part. But reverse the situation, Allah forbid, should your punishment, should your disciplinary measure go beyond the crime they have committed, then justice will be meted out against you. There will be no master and slave, no ruler and subject, no employer and employee. Everyone will be equal. So the wrong that you have done against them, justice will be meted out against the master, against the employer. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, that really makes the matter rather delicate and intricate and complicated. I think if it's so complicated, I don't think I'm ready to jeopardize my akhirat and risk it. Let me then release them. Ushhiduka annahum ahrar. I make you my witness, I release them for the pleasure of Allah. The Prophet said, the better you do, the easier for you on the day of Qiyamah. The better you do, I'm not saying that you've trespassed, nor am I saying you make it easier for yourself. Justice will be meted out. Abu Mas'ud Badri says, I was about to slap my slave. And then someone screamed out from the back, Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka ala hadal ghulam. O Abu Mas'ud, remember Allah has more control over you than you have over the slave. Allah has more authority over you than you have over the slave. I often say, you think you can retrench and lay off, wait when Allah starts retrenching. So he says, I turned back and then I seen the Prophet of Allah and I froze and I felt so embarrassed. And I shivered for a moment and I said, Huwa hurrun li wajhi Allah. Oh Nabi of Allah, forgive me. I make you my witness, I free him for the pleasure of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ama law lam taf'al lalafahatka an-nar. Well, I guess if you won't free him, I doubt the fire will spare you. If you don't release him, I doubt Jahannam will spare you. It will take you. So absolute justice. There will be justice in everything. In Bukhari Sharif, one person says, I met Abu Dharr. لَقِيْتُ أَبَا ذَرٍ بِالْرَبْضَ. I met him at a place called Rabza. وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ وَعَلَى غُلَامِهِ حُلَّةٌ. I found that he was dressed in a uniform and his slave was also dressed in an absolute uniform. So there was no grounds to differentiate who was the master and the slave. You know, we always like to make a clear-cut distinction. That I'm the employer, he's the employee. I'm the boss, I'm in charge. I'm the manager here. In everything, we make a clear-cut distinction that people must grade us accordingly. So I found master and slave were dressed in one uniform. So I said, Abu Dharr, what is the matter? Has he been promoted or have you been demoted? I mean, that's my explanation. Have you been, demoted and has he been, what is it? He said, no, let me tell you. Inni ayyartuhu bi ummi. I one day insulted him about his mother. I snubbed him and I told him something, unpleasant. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aba Dharrin, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya. Abu Dharr, you've accepted Islam, but I still get the stench of ignorance in nakin from you. Abu Dharr, I still get the foul smell of ignorance in nothing. I still get that stench. I still get that foul smell coming out. That is your brother. Treat him like yourself. So justice in every aspect and in every facet of life. But then like I said, there's two things in Islam which makes the justice of Islam so much more unique. The Quran says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما. Oh, you who believe, stand firm on justice and advocate justice and practice justice. Even if you have to make a decision against yourself, so be it. This is the beauty of the justice of Islam. It's easy to be just when it doesn't implicate you. When you are out of the court and out of the ring, and then to point fingers, it's well said, very easy done. But when you have to make justice against yourself, and you have to confess your wrong, and you have to admit your wrong, and your own children are implicated, and your wife is to be blamed, and those around you are guilty of the wrong, then to what extent do we exercise justice? Then to what extent do we exercise justice? And that is the beauty of Islam. One person had committed an act of theft, so his hands were being cut off. While his hands were being cut off, the Prophet ﷺ started crying. So Sahaba, became emotional and hesitant. They said, O Nabi of Allah, but you have taught us that when a person commits an act of theft, then if it is beyond 10 dirhams, his hands will be cut. That is the teachings of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you did not understand my tears. Yes, I have taught you this, and this is the order of Allah. The order of Allah will prevail. However, this is my companion. If I will not cry, who will cry? I will have to cry, but justice will prevail. My tears does not mean that do not execute the order of Allah. The order of Allah will be executed. But as a human, as a Nabi, it's going to hurt me. But the order of Allah, it cannot adjust the order of Allah. And the most beautiful incident to cite in this regard is the famous one of Fatima radiallahu anha, when that woman, Makhzumiya, she belonged to a very high profile clan, and then she perpetrated the crime, and then because of her, high profile and her prestigious position, people felt a bit uncomfortable. Such a noble woman, for her hands to be cut off will be an insult to her dignity, will tarnish her image, will blemish her position. So perhaps if we could speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and work out some concession, some flexibility in the matter. So they decided to tread very sensitive ground. So the question arose, who's going to approach the matter? You know, you're talking very sensitive things. So they said Usama. Usama, the Prophet loves him and, you know, is very close to him. Usama, I think he stands a good chance. The riwayat of Bukhari, the Prophet was relaxing and then Usama radiallahu anhu comes in. And he was so close that one day there was some mucus flowing from his nose. So the Prophet told Aisha, bring me a cloth. So Aisha radiallahu anhu said, don't be of Allah, I'll clean his nose. Now, you know, to clean the nose of your child, that's love. That is normal. You don't find anything of your child to be dirty. That's the beauty of Allah's kindness upon. Imagine if a parent would find anything of his child to be dirty, how would he nurse his child? How would a mother see to her child? But as soon as it becomes somebody else, immediately it becomes a problem. As soon as it becomes somebody else, it becomes a problem. It's dirty, it's unpleasant, you know, it's offensive. But if it's your own child, mashallah, you have no problem. You know, the common example is given that if your child becomes restless and he's crying and he's making noise, then it disturbs you, it bothers your sleep, you don't care about your sleep, you get up, you expect those around you to cooperate with you, your child is sick, you know, please just bear with me. But if somebody else's child cries, apna bachcha roye, to dil mein dard, aur kisi aur ka bachcha roye, to sar mein dard. That's the common way, you know, how it is. Apna bachcha roye, to dil mein dard, mahat. And somebody else, to sar mein dard. You know, it's like a pain. So to you know, to do for someone else's child is not easy. It's a mark of absolute love. You need to love a child to do for that child. So the Prophet said, no, Aisha, I'll clean his nose, I love him. And the Prophet said, Aisha, you also love him. Aisha, you also love him. So he was very close. So Usama radiallahu anhu came and sat down on the lap of the Prophet and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I just want to speak to you. So the Prophet came and said, what's it, Usama, talk. So he said that there's this woman, Fatima Makhzoomiya, she stole, and then, you know, she's a bit of a high-profile woman, so I have just been sent and nominated to just try and work out some flexibility in the matter. The riwayat of Bukhari says, فَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ The Prophet got up, and he put Usama down, and his face turned colored. He said, Usama, are you asking me to be flexible in Allah's orders? Are you interceding in the commands of Allah? أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ Have I understood you correct? وَإِمُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ I swear by that Allah who is in control of my life. You talking of this Fatima, Allah's qasam, if my Fatima steals, even her hands will be chopped off. Even her hands will be cut off. Let the world know the order of Allah prevails even at the cost of the hands of the daughter of the beloved of Allah. Then he said, study the decline of the previous nations. They differentiated, they discriminated when it came to the implementation of the orders of Allah. So when it was exclusive, high profile, they excused them. When it was innocent people, they penalized them. This is where the decline of those nations came. The order of Allah is one. There's nobody that's above the order of Allah. Justice will prevail for all. So that is the beauty of Islam. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ Allah says, be firm on justice, even if you have to decide against yourself. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, listen, you people, the riwayat comes in Bukhari, you people present your cases to me. Some of you are more eloquent than others. I don't have the knowledge of the unseen. I decide in relation to the evidence that is presented before me. If you convince me through your evidence and I decide in your favor, but you know it is not yours, then don't think my decree in your favor makes it yours. I am allotting a portion of Jahannam for you. Some of you are more eloquent than others. This is the word of Bukhari. You're more articulate than others. You're more profound than others. So you come across very convincing. You come across very convincing. I don't have the knowledge of the unseen. Accordingly, I decide. Don't think my decision justifies it and makes it correct. If it's not yours, it's not yours. My decision doesn't sanction it. You know in your hearts. I mean, you know, judge and how sensitive they are. And I know of a case, what happened, a person was driving at a particular speed and he knocked a child down. And then when he was summoned and he presented in the court, and then the judge asked him, do you plead guilty? So he says, no, I'm innocent. So the judge says, okay, no problem, the case is dropped and you are released. Next time will you drive slower? He says, yes. He says, well, you're guilty then. And you're guilty. That means you're confessing you were driving fast. So, you know, if these are the things in this world, can we imagine how justice will prevail on the day of Qiyamah? The Quran speaks about it. وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. Every person, every human, every criminal will be brought. One angel in front, one at the rear. And then he will be steered to Allah Ta'ala, and he will be brought in the court of Allah. And then he will stand before Allah. You see people, before an interview, how hysterical, how nervous, how tense they are. People are worried about some diagnosis, medical condition, waiting for some results. Person is in the labor room of his wife, he's tense, he's stressed. You know, these are places where anxiety fluctuates and it comes to a point that it becomes a bit unbearable. Can you imagine this year? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it okay? Is it on? Is it off? Whatever it is, there you're standing before Allah and Allah will directly speak to you. Nothing that you can hide from Allah, nothing that you can conceal from Allah. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. The Prophet says, no translator between you and Allah. And then Allah will directly speak to you. So that is the first aspect of the justice of Islam, that we must be just against ourselves. We must learn to admit our own wrongs. We must learn to confess our own wrongs. And then only will there be merit and value in what we say. The second area is that Islam says, and this is very needed, in the present climate of hostility, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Let not the hatred of any nation provoke you to injustice. Let not the hatred of any nation incite you to injustice. You might have differences, you might have bickering, but that doesn't justify for you to become oppressive, to become unjust. Justice has to reign. If that's the attitude from your rival, from your enemy, then that doesn't give you grounds to return in this far. The incident is very, very long. And then he was captured by the people of Harith, by the family. And he was brought to Makkah. And then he was going to be executed as they would do with the Muslims. They would execute him, they would announce the day, announce the venue, people would come and rejoice. For Muslims it would be an emotional moment. The others would come rejoice that here goes the man and execute him. So it was just a day or two before Khubayb radiallahu anhu was about to be executed, at the heir and the family members of the person whom he had killed in the Battle of Badr, and that was Harith. Now, while Khubayb radiallahu anhu was sitting, he asked for a blade, he needed a blade, he was tied up in shackles. فَاسْتَعَارَ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْضِ بَنَاتِ الْحَارِثِ. So they gave him a blade, he was a prisoner, he was a captive, they gave him a blade. It's something else to study in this time, which is very needed, while many allegations have been made against Islam. Study how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with captives. Sahaba say, at times we used to go hungry and the captives used to eat. At times the prisoners lived with more dignity, they enjoyed better food than us. That is the teachings of Islam. That he might be a captive, he might be a prisoner, but the respect with which and the dignity with which they were treated, how humanely they were kept, the privileges they were given, is one of its kind. It's unparalleled. So he asked for a blade, he was given a blade. And, you know, he knows as the days are going by, my death is getting certain. I have two odd days and then I'll be executed. But subhanallah, you know, how calm they were. While he had this blade in his hand, فَدَرَجَ بُنَيٌّ لَهَا وَهِيَ غَافِرًا. A child from the family of those that were going to execute him, a little child comes, and he sits and he runs into the lap of Khubayb radiallahu anhu. Now, child doesn't know color, Child doesn't know nationality, and child doesn't know enemy. Child is innocent. A child is absolutely innocent. You see two people with different color and race, the parents might become racist, and the children will start playing. You won't say this is a child of a different color and everything. They'll start playing. Whether they speak the same language or not, parents will be reserved, the wife will be reserved, the son will make that comment, and then slowly. But children, they'll start playing. Children, subhanAllah, they don't understand color. It's us that make our children prejudice. It is us that make our children prejudice. It is us that make our children racist. Children are too innocent to understand this here. I know of an incident of a colleague of mine. His child was sick and he was hospitalized. And he mentioned this to us. He says, when we went to visit the child at night and we would kiss the child in the children's ward, then the child would say, like, Dad, what is the matter? You kiss me, but you don't kiss my fellow children that are also sleeping in the ward. You know, child wants love. Give love to all. Why you kiss me only? How do you explain to the child? So anyway, the child comes in, he sits down in the lap of Khubayb. And Khubayb radiallahu anhu has got the blade in his hand. And just then the mother comes out. And there she gets panicked up. فَفَزِعَتْ فَزْعَةً. And she becomes hysterical and she says, wow, what's going to happen here now, my child? And he's got a blade and he's a captive. So Khubayb radiallahu anhu sensed the panic manifesting on this woman's face. So he said, sister, very calmly, أَتَخْشَيْنَ أَنْ أَقْتُلَهُ. Do you think I will vent my frustration and my anger on this defenseless, innocent child? I'm afraid you've got the wrong understanding of Islam. This child is innocent and I love him. He is a harmless creature. I am only petting him and showing him love. Knowing very well, tomorrow this child's uncle will execute me. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ. Let not the enmity of a nation provoke you to injustice. Tomorrow I'll be executed. What stops him from killing this child today? I am going to be dying tomorrow. It makes no difference. But no, that's not the teachings of Islam. Let justice reign. Let sanity reign. Let justice prevail. That woman said, Wallahi ma ra'aytu asiran mithla Khubayb. I swear by Allah, I've never seen a captive more noble than Khubayb. Then she said, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَأْكُلُ. He used to eat fruits while he was in that shackle and as a captive, which was not available to us. He used to eat such fruits that even we did not have. So we used to ask him, Khubayb, where do you get this from? He said, إِنَّهُ لَرِزْقٌ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah made this divine provision for me. Which the ordinary people who were free and were not captives didn't have access to, and Khubayb as a captive could eat. So this is the thing. We love every child. Child is innocent. Look at the beautiful teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a child and a woman, even in battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they will not be killed. So this is the two outstanding components of the justice of Islam. Justice upon yourself, if you have to admit your wrong, confess your wrong, acknowledge your wrong, then be man enough, be brave enough to come forward and say, yes, I am wrong, I've made a mistake, and I acknowledge it, And at the same time, the wrong of others, the bias of others, the provocation of others does not justify for you to deal unjustly. Now, if this becomes a reality, and then, you read what happened to Khubayb radiallahu anhu thereafter, subhanAllah. When he was brought, then the next day when he was about to be executed, then everybody gathered. Then he said, allow me, I want to perform 2 rakat salah. So he started performing salah. And then he got so engrossed in his salah that he was enjoying the salah. But then he terminated his salah. He said, لَوْلَا أَن تَظَنُّوا أَنِّي إِنَّمَا تَوَّلْتُ جَزَعًا مِنَ الْمَوْتِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. The only reason I terminated my salah, that I was afraid you must not misinterpret my prolonging of my prayer as a result of the fear of death. Now you get the wrong message that look, he's prolonging, he's playing with time, he's afraid. That is why I cut it short, otherwise I was enjoying it so much. I was enjoying that salah so much, but perhaps you would say that he's prolonging, he's delaying his death, so that is why I cut it short. And then, you know, he was hung, and he was, subhanAllah, he said, فَقَدْ جَمَّعُوا أَبَنَاءَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ وَقُرِّبْتُ مِنْ جِذْعٍ طَوِيلٍ مُمَنَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَشْكُو كُرْبَتِي ثُمَّ غُرْبَتِي وَمَا أَرْصَدَ الْأَحْزَابَ لِي عِنْدَ مَصْرَعِي. Allah, they've gathered their women and children. Allah, they're singing songs. Allah, they're rejoicing. To you do I complain of my condition. To you do I cry and plea of my feebleness. Then he said, he turned his face towards Qibla. So they turned him away from Qibla. They said, you cannot face Qibla. So he said, فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا عَلَىٰ أَيِّ جَنْبٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَسْرَعِي. I am not bothered if you turn my face away from Qibla, as long as I know I die for his pleasure. As long as I know I die for his pleasure. Just reflect for a moment. Can you imagine how calm a person has to be for him to sing couplets? Sing couplets. I mean, you're about to die. You know, you something small happens and you're pulsating and you're breathing so heavy and you're trying to get your composure and you're trying to get your act together. And brother, I'll be with you in a minute. My heart skipped a beat. And yeah, he's about to be executed and he's singing couplets. You know, how calm he was. How calm, how casual he was. And then he said, وَقَدْ خَيَّرُونِ الْمَوْتَ وَالْكُفْرَ دُونَهُ وَقَدْ هَمَلَتْ عَيْنَايَ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَجْزَعِي وَمَا بِي حِذَارُ الْمَوْتِ أَنِّي لَمَيِّتُ وَلَكِنْ حِذَارِي دَحْمُ نَارٍ مُلَفَّعِي فَلَسْتُ بِمُبْدٍ لِلْعَدُوِ تَخَشُّعًا وَلَا جَزَعًا إِنِّي إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعِي. They threaten me and they give me an option that if I forsake my Islam, they will spare my life, as if this belief is a choice for me. He says, they threaten me and they tell me, forsake your Islam, as if this belief is a choice for me. Then he says, my eyes tear not out of the fear of death, but rather the fear of Jahannam. My eyes tear not out of the fear of death, but the fear of Jahannam. So look at the beauty of the Sahabi. And look at the, this is what I'm saying here, Eve, that we've got to love with justice. Justice has to prevail in our interaction, in our dealing, in our one-to-one relation with those around us, in every matter. Let not their provocation or the provocation of any person or any enmity lead you to injustice. The Quran says, i'adilu, at all times be just, at all times be just. Someone said it very beautiful, and I leave you with this here. They say, there are four qualities that are unique if everybody has it, but it will be superb if four particular people have it. For example, At-tawbatu min al-shaykhi hasanun, walakin fi al-shabbi ahsan. Repentance is wonderful if an old-aged person makes it, but it's superb if a youngster makes it in the prime of his life. At-sakhawatu min al-aghniyai hasanun, walakin fi al-fuqara'i ahsan. Generosity is wonderful if the wealthy have it, but it's superb if the poor possess it. Al-haya'u min al-ridali hasanun, walakin fi al-nisa'i ahsan. Modesty and bashfulness is wonderful if the men have it, but it's outstanding if the women have it. Al-adlu min kulli insanin hasanun, walakin fil qudati ahsan. Justice is wonderful if I have it, you have it, but it's superb if the governors and the rulers have it. What will be this earth if there was justice? What will be this? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the era, you know, Umar the just, how did he rule, how did he govern? With the most ordinary subject, the most ordinary subject enjoyed the privileges, where he would roam the streets of Medina, and then he would listen to the complaints of every person. And there was a time where you could directly access the Amir. You could directly come before him and present your complaint before him. Nowadays a person gets a little position and then there's a spokesman for him. He just gets a slight position and then immediately now there are channels. There are channels. You have to speak to the secretary, he's out of the stuff here, and his spokesman, subhanallah. And those days, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, you could directly access him. Really, this world is desperate for justice. This world is desperate for justice. This planet Earth will become so much more conducive for humans to live if we have respect for one another, we have dignity for one another, and we let justice prevail. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not look at faith, justice. So, there was an argument between a munafiq. There was an argument between a munafiq and a Jew. And they debated. So the munafiq, he acted like a Muslim. He wasn't a Muslim. The Jew said, let's go to the Prophet Muhammad, he is a just person. Let's go to the Prophet Muhammad, he is a just person. He was conscious and he respected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to look at the person's face. Whoever is right is right. The munafiq, he revealed, he was a hypocrite, he acted as if he was a Muslim. He acted as if he said, no, let's not go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Jew is saying, but that is your Prophet. That's your Prophet. You say you're a Muslim, let's go to your Prophet. So they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the case and he said that the Jew is correct. The decision was in his favor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the decision. So Islam encourages that we see justice must prevail. Whoever is right is right. Whoever is wrong is wrong. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become those people. We become conscious in every aspect, in all our relations. There are a lot of relations that are very sensitive. We trespass the limits of justice. I spoke previously, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. If we lean to anyone at the cost of sacrificing the right of the other, we'll be answerable in the eyes of Allah. We've got to find out from Quran and Hadith, what does Allah expect from us? What does Allah want from us? And do we diligently comply? This is the teachings of Islam. And this was the mutual understanding that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with people of other faith as well. People of other faith also, and a lot of them used to come and present with their cases before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very honest. One day Sayyidina Umar and a Jew had an argument. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu slapped him. So the Jew came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Amma anta ya Umar fa'ardihi. Oh Umar, you've hurt him. Now it is only right that he slaps you back. Let there be justice. You have to please him. He did this to you, so let it be fair. Let it be fair. Islam advocates justice in all matters, even if it is against yourself. Let us make ourselves accessible. Let us make ourselves accessible. If we are someone of a high rank, let it be that people can come and talk to us. What a great Nabi of Allah, and the most ordinary person could come and speak to him. Anybody could stop him. There was a woman who was mentally impaired. She held the Prophet and she says, I need to talk to you. The Prophet said, you decide the time and the venue and I'll be there. You decide the time and the venue. I don't even have this. Ya Allah, forgive me. How many of us possess this? But look at what an accessible human he was. What an accessible human he was, that anyone and everyone could approach him. And like I said, you know, we have formalities and we have people speaking on our behalf and we have this and that. Subhanallah, we are way off the mark. Really, this world is desperate for justice. Absolutely desperate. That justice must reign so that it makes it so much more conducive and so more pleasant for all humans of all faiths to live and reside with dignity. Allah give us the tawfiq. SubhanAllah.